Orange County commissioners are meeting tonight at 7 with the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County school boards, a biannual joint meeting that will address topics ranging from COVID safety to racial equity to state test scores. County Commissioner Renee Price discussed the agenda with 97.9 The Hill.
Oh, there's going to be a host of things to talk about. I hope we can stay on track, on point with our agenda. But one of the things we'll be talking about, of course, is capital, because that is the one thing that that the schools need, the money for capital. And that's the one thing that the Board of County Commissioners that we do provide is the funding. That's our responsibility to make sure that our students have safe learning environments. So we'll be talking about that. And I'm sure we'll be talking about COVID as well and how to keep our young ones safe, as well as our teachers and faculty and, you know, the rest of the staff. So, yeah, there'll be quite a bit to talk about. And, of course, when you've got, you know, members from three different boards plus staff, it's going to, you know, it's going to be a jam-packed meeting.
That's County Commissioner Renee Price speaking there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com, and get the full agenda for tonight's meeting at orangecountync.gov. Turning to COVID-19, good news and bad news on that front this morning. First of all, hospitalizations dipped again slightly yesterday, down to 3,400 in North Carolina, continuing that very slow decline. But in Orange County, the county recorded three more deaths in the month of August, bringing the overall death toll to 105. The vast majority of those deaths did come much earlier in the pandemic, though. There have been only four COVID deaths in Orange County since late March. On campus, about 90% of UNC students and staff have already gotten their COVID vaccines, but UNC officials are still stepping up efforts to persuade the rest to get their shots. Starting next month, students, faculty, and staff who have been vaccinated will be entered into weekly drawings to win prizes, including student store gift cards and Carolina basketball tickets, among other things. Turning to politics, longtime State House Representative Verla Inska recently announced she will not be seeking re-election when her term ends next year. In an exclusive interview with us at 97.9 The Hill, Inska spoke about her decision to retire and reflected on her long career in public service. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras reports.
Verla Inska has long been a progressive political champion for the Orange County area. A retired healthcare administrator, she served as an Orange County commissioner for 4 years and on the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education for 8 years before she was elected to the North Carolina General Assembly in 1997. Now, in her 13th term, Inska is second in House seniority only to Representative Julia Howard of Davie County. After 24 years of service, when asked about her decision to retire, Inska simply said, "It's time."
My husband and I have a lot of ahead of us. We have some travel plans. We're sort of downsizing. Mm-hmm. And so we're beginning to focus on slowing down.
During Inska's tenure, she developed expertise in health and human services, education, the environment, and election law. She helped lead a committee in the early 2000s focused on improving ballot security, especially with the rise of electronic voting systems. She said her proudest accomplishment, however, has been her work on early childhood education and mental health reform, where there's still plenty more work to be done.
For the mental health system, that reform took place over a period of years, and we were doing a lot of changes and adjusting. And that system's still not right. And a lot of that, of the shortfalls that we have in that system, are because of inadequate funding.
During her remaining time in office, Inska said she wants to continue Medicaid expansion.
I mean, we have a million people in North Carolina that are uninsured, and about 600,000 of those would be covered if we expanded Medicaid.
And when December 2022 rolls around, Inska said she doesn't plan on straying very far from the local government scene.
I have the Democratic Party politics in my blood, so yeah. I know I'm going to be involved locally in some way.
Inska said she's been thinking about stepping down from her position ever since she filed for re-election last year. And with the filing period for the state and county primaries opening in December, she wanted to give people who were interested in running plenty of time to make a decision. People like chair of the Orange County Democratic Party, Jonah Garson. On Wednesday, Garson announced that he is stepping aside to run for Inskeel's seat in the North Carolina House, which covers Chapel Hill and Carrboro. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Inskeel's seat won't be up for election until next year, but there are some key races in this November's election as well, and endorsements are already beginning to come in. The LGBTQ rights organization Equality NC has issued endorsements for local races across the state. In Chapel Hill, they've endorsed Pam Heminger for re-election as mayor and Karen Stegman and Paris Miller Fouché for town council. In Carrboro, they've endorsed Damon Siles for mayor and Barbara Fouché, Jackie Giss, and Randy Haven O'Donnell for re-election to the town council. In Hillsboro, they've endorsed Jen Weaver for re-election as mayor, and they've also made one more Orange County endorsement, George Griffin, for Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Board. And if you're a Durham resident, Equality NC endorsed Javiera Caballero for mayor and Marion Johnson and A.J. Williams for city council. Turning to state news now, in Raleigh, former colleagues of the late state Senate leader Mark Bassenight gathered on Tuesday to remember his legacy. Bassenight died in December at age 73. He was the longest-serving state Senate leader in North Carolina history. Meanwhile, in the Senate, Republican lawmakers are trying again this week to advance a bill that would require an explanation to be made public whenever a state employee is transferred, demoted, or suspended. The State Employees Association is against that bill. The North Carolina Press Association is for it. Elsewhere, a new report from the State Department of Transportation has found a $7 billion gap between the cost of projects the DOT has already committed to over the next 12 years and the money that's actually available to pay for them. That's because material costs, wages, and real estate prices have all gone up amidst the COVID pandemic. And the report suggests some projects may end up being dropped if more funding isn't available. And slightly to the west of Raleigh, congrats to RDU Airport, just named as the number 3 large airport in North America for customer satisfaction by J.D. Power. That's up 6 spots from last year. It was number 9 a year ago. If you really want satisfaction, New Orleans is your number 1. Now back to campus, where there's big news from the Gillings School of Global Public Health. Longtime Dean Dr. Barbara K. Reimer will be stepping down at the end of this academic year after 17 years in that position. Reimer is currently UNC's longest-serving dean. She'll be stepping down as dean next June, but she will remain on the Gillings School faculty. And also on campus, UNC has been ranked as the 33rd best university in the U.S., according to the annual college rankings list from the Wall Street Journal and Times Higher Education. That's unchanged from a year ago. Carolina also ranked 33rd last year. 6:18, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Fourth-ranked UNC women's soccer is back in action tonight, hosting Virginia Tech at 7 p.m. on Dorrance Field. Tar Heel legend Mia Hamm is going to be on hand signing autographs if you're headed to the game. Speaking of women's soccer, longtime assistant coach Chris Ducar has been given a new title, general manager. As the new GM, he'll be in charge of overseeing recruiting, fundraising, and more. He's been with Carolina for 26 years. Among other things, he won National Assistant Coach of the Year honors in 2006. Over to football now, where Tar Heel head coach Mack Brown told reporters he's disappointed with the ACC's decision not to punish Virginia for multiple apparent targeting hits during Saturday's game, including one against receiver Josh Downs that's gotten a lot of attention. Inside Carolina reporting that Carolina won the game anyway, and Downs finished with 2 TDs and more than 200 yards receiving. The Tar Heels did get some very good news yesterday on the recruiting front. 4-star running back George Pettaway out of Suffolk, Virginia, has committed to UNC for next year's class. 24/7 Sports ranks him as the 7th best running back in the nation in the class of 22. UNC's recruiting class overall for that year is currently ranked 12th in the country. Now we turn to high school football, where the Chapel Hill Tigers are off to a hot start this season, winning their first 4 games. But they're also making news for a different reason. One player in particular who's breaking boundaries in a very big way. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has the story.
After Chapel Hill High defeated rival Carrboro 55-6 on September 10th, Tigers starting safety Brooklyn Harker was told she needed to speak with her mom. Brooklyn, ever the cautious high schooler, told 97.9 The Hill she initially feared the worst.
She was like, I have to talk to you about something, and I thought I was in trouble for a second. But then she was like, I tweeted this, and there are people like asking to interview you, and she was like, it has like 8,000 likes already. And I was like, that's crazy. I didn't even really know what to think about it.
The tweet from Brooklyn's mom, featuring a picture of the junior in football pads and her uniform, has since neared 60,000 likes on Twitter. Dr. Jennifer Harker was hyping up her daughter as Brooklyn prepared to start the game against Carrboro. She's the first girl to ever suit up in football for Chapel Hill High. As for what got her interested in football in the first place, Harker said she can't remember exactly, except for simple childhood curiosity.
I think I just wanted to try it, and then I was like, this is actually really fun. So then it like kind of just kind of stuck with me. And my family's always been a huge fan of like watching the NFL and stuff, so that probably was a motivation.
And when Harker expressed interest in playing for the Tigers, she said the high school team welcomed her with open arms.
It was just kind of showing up and saying, hey, I want to play. The team was great from like day one and stuff, and like they accepted me from day one. So I thought that was really cool.
Harker also plays for Chapel Hill's soccer team. From football to football, she said many of the techniques she learns are applicable across both sports.
In soccer, whenever like they have a breakaway or something and you have to like chase them, you know, like breaking down in front of the ball, we practice that in football. It's like the little fundamental things, and like I kick a little bit too, so like kicking's a lot different, but yeah, it's interesting to see that there are some similarities in technique.
MaxPreps.com, which follows high school athletics around the country, lists Harker as both a wide receiver and defensive back. And as you just heard, she can play kicker as well. She's able to take the field on offense, defense, and special teams, but which is her favorite?
Honestly, my favorite position is just wherever they put me. I really like playing receiver, and free safety is a lot of fun.
Harker said her dream is to make the NFL, but hasn't ruled out playing soccer or fencing on the collegiate level. With new rules in place which allow NCAA student athletes to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, someone like Harker, whose name and image have already gone viral, could potentially cash in. But she said she hasn't given it much thought yet.
Actually, someone like DM'd me on Instagram and asked, have I gotten any NIL offers yet? And I was like, I don't really know what that is. And then my mom told me what it was. And so that's really all that I've thought about that.
For now, Harker will continue to contribute for the Tigers. Her play is part of the reason Chapel Hill High is undefeated so far this season, as they hold a 4-0 record. Harker said her head coach, Isaac Marsh, isn't just playing her for attention.
Coach Marsh is more of a like a situational kind of guy, more than he is like a publicity kind of guy, I guess. So like if he puts a player out there, it's because it's like the best option for the team. So I believe that he put me out there because I was the best option.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And finally in baseball, the Durham Bulls got rained out last night, but they will make it up today with a doubleheader. They're hosting Gwinnett beginning at 5:35. Five-game series begins tonight. That is the last home series of the season for the Bulls.